Assalamu alaikum students. Welcome to the third in the series of lectures on financial management for the Virtual University Pakistan. In the last lecture, we went over financial statements analysis and we also went over financial ratios. In this lecture, we are going to talk about some concepts of financial management and we will move into the first major concept, which is time value of money and interest. What I'm going to do first of all is to present some of the major concepts in this course in relatively simple ways that will make it easy for you to understand them. The first concept is known as time value of money. And what time value of money says is that 1 rupee in your hand today is worth more than 1 rupee in your hand tomorrow. Why is that? Well, because if you had 1 rupee in your hand today, you could put it in the bank and earn interest and have more than 1 rupee tomorrow. So that is the concept of time value of money, and it's important not to forget that. The second important concept to understand is that of risk and return. And very simply put, the way to understand that is that one safe rupee in your hand is worth more than one risky rupee which is not in your hand. So another way of saying that is that a bird in the hand is worth more than two in the bush. We will talk in detail about risk and return in the middle of this course. The third concept that we will be talking about is that of discounting and net present value. This is a fundamental mathematical skill that you will need to perfect in this course. And the principle behind discounting is that when we talk about trying to calculate the value of an asset or the value of a company, then we try to forecast what the cash flows that this asset will generate over its life, over its future life. And then we bring back each one of those future cash flows back to the present. So we discount them to the present. And we pick the present, which is here and now, this time, as the point of time in which we will compare different investments. So you have to compare different investments with different lives at the same point in time. And discounting and net present value allows you to discount all the future cash flows to the present point in time. Loosely stated, you can say that you should not compare apples to oranges. In other words, compare apples to apples. Compare different investments at the same point in time. The fourth principle or concept that we'll talk about is that of portfolio diversification. How to reduce risk by dividing your investments across different kinds of securities and different kinds of markets. One very simple way of saying this is, don't put all of your eggs in one basket. Finally, the concept of hedging and insurance. This is a very important concept because what this is saying is that whether you put your eggs in one basket or whether you divide these eggs up in many baskets, chances are that you will break a few eggs. So, might as well, before that happens, you should get insurance, because you are going to break a few eggs. And the best way is to get insurance, so that if those eggs are broken, that you can recover a part of your loss. So these are some of the concepts very, very simply stated, let me remind you that the basic objective in financial management is to maximize the shareholders' wealth. And we have to look at the best kind of investments and the best kind of financing in order to maximize the shareholders' wealth. Now, let's talk about the first major and technical area in financial management, which we'll talk about in detail, and that is interest. So, in the beginning, we will have to discuss some simple theoretical underpinnings of interest, kuch nazriyati aur conceptual issues ke baare mein hume shuru mein baat karni padegi, aur uske baad phir hum kuch practical aur amalan calculations ke zariye interest ko behtar samajh payenge. According to economic theory, interest is simply the equilibrium price at which the demand and the supply of funds or capital meet. So it is like an equilibrium price for the market for capital or funds. But when you talk about the equilibrium price, then it varies from one market to another market. As I mentioned earlier, whether you're talking about the capital market or the money market or the real asset market, every market, the market for wheat, the market for rice, gandum, chawal, kapda, gaadiyan, computer hardware, har ek market ki ek apni equilibrium price hai, aur har ek market ki supply or demand for capital and funds varies. So, interest rates vary from one market to another, and similarly, the price of capital in, let's say, the property market might be different from the price of capital or the interest rate in the shares market or in the cotton market. Markets have different interest rates guided by the supply and demand of funds in that market. But markets in a country are generally interlinked or they are connected. Now let's talk about what kind of factors affect or determine the interest rate. Interest rate is what we refer to as sood ya sood ki shara. I should mention here, as Muslims, we should be aware that sood is haram. And if you read Surah Al-Baqarah in detail, then the consequences of lenders who deal in interest and borrowers are quite grave, but I won't go into that. The interest that you read in the paper, in the newspaper, or in business journals, the interest rate that you read is generally the nominal rate of interest. And the nominal rate of interest includes the inflation into it. The nominal rate of interest is determined by the following things. It's determined by the risk-free rate of interest plus the rate of inflation plus the default risk premium plus the maturity risk premium plus the sovereignty risk premium plus the liquidity preference. Now that is a lot of pluses. Let me go over each one of these terms in detail. Firstly, what is the risk-free rate of interest? Actually, there is no such thing as the risk-free rate of interest, because there is nothing which is entirely risk-free. All investments, all securities have a certain amount of risk. The company or the organization that is issuing that security might default, might go bankrupt, it might close down. We can't be sure. But we have to pick something as the best estimate for this ideal risk-free interest. And generally, the value that we pick is the value for the US government T-bills issued by the government of USA. That is internationally considered as the risk-free rate of return, the rate of interest offered by the US T-bills. In Pakistan, we could pick the government of Pakistan T-bills as the risk-free rate of return. Next, we talked about inflation. Actually, when you are factoring in inflation in calculating the nominal rate of interest, you are talking about the expected average rate of inflation over the life of the investment or the security. So, for example, if you are talking about trying to calculate the nominal rate of interest of a bond whose life is 5 years, then built into that you have to forecast what you think the inflation is going to be like over the next 5 years. The third thing that I mentioned was the default risk premium. What is the default risk premium? Default risk is the risk that a company will go thup. A company might go bankrupt, might close down. And any security, any stock, any share, any bond that has been issued by a company has a chance of collapsing if the company goes bankrupt. That is the default risk premium, which is charged by the investor for taking on the risk that this company might go bankrupt. The next factor that I had spoken about was the maturity risk premium. There is a premium that investors demand when the investment or the security piece of paper that represents the investment is of a very long duration. For example, agar aapne government of Pakistan ke 10 sala FIB ya bonds ko khareeda hai, تو آپ ایک حد تک ایک رسک لے رہے ہیں. وہ رسک کیا ہے کہ آئندہ 10 سالوں میں انفلیشن کی وجہ سے اور انٹرسٹ ریٹس کی وجہ سے اس بانڈ کی ویلیو میں ڈپریسیشن ہو سکتی ہے, اس کی ویلیو گر سکتی ہے. لہذا میچیورٹی رسک پریمیم از لنک ٹو the life of the investment. Generally speaking, long-term securities and investment require a higher maturity risk premium. Next thing that I spoke about was the sovereign risk premium. Amuman, is factor ke baare mein baat nahi hoti. Halanke, jab aap investments ki baat karte hain, aajkal investments jo hai, wo ek global issue hai. Jo دنیا کے بڑے انویسٹمنٹ بینکس اور میوچل فنڈز ہیں, دے آر انویسٹنگ بلینز آف ڈالرز آل اوور دا ورلڈ. سو دے آر لوکنگ ناٹ جسٹ ان دا یوناٹیڈ اسٹیٹس فار انویسٹمنٹ اور ان یورپ, بٹ آل اوور دا ورلڈ, ویئر ایور دے کین گیٹ دا ہائیسٹ ریٹ آف ریٹرن ود لمیٹڈ رسک. فار دیز پیپل سوورن رسک از ویری امپورٹنٹ, اینڈ سوورن رسک از دی گورنمنٹ or political risk associated with a particular country. جب وہ پاکستان میں کوئی انویسٹمنٹ کرنا چاہتے ہیں تو they have some idea about how risky it is to invest in Pakistan, given changes in the political climate maybe, or changes in foreign exchange and so on. I should mention here that Pakistan is not as risky an investment as many other countries. For example, there are countries in Africa and South America and elsewhere which are a lot more riskier to invest in. Pakistan has a very, very solid physical asset market base as well as quite developed capital markets. Finally, the factor that I mentioned last of all that affects the nominal rate of interest is the liquidity preference. And I talked about that a little earlier. Liquidity preference refers to the investor psychology which has an inclination for investing in securities that are easy to encash. مثال کے طور پہ پاکستان میں انویسٹر یہ پریفر کرتا ہے کہ وہ پرائز بانڈ یا سیونگ سرٹیفکیٹ اپنے پاس رکھے کیونکہ وہ کبھی بھی جا کے اس کو کیش کروا سکتے ہیں. تو اس انکیشمنٹ کی سہولت کی ایک ویلیو ہے اینڈ دیٹ از دی لکوڈیٹی پریفرنس. سو جسٹ ٹو سم اپ, دی نامینل ریٹ آف انٹرسٹ از اکول ٹو دی رسک فری ریٹ آف انٹرسٹ پلس ریٹ آف انفلیشن ایکسپیکٹڈ انفلیشن پلس دی ڈیفالٹ رسک پریمیم پلس دی میچورٹی رسک پریمیم پلس دی سوورن رسک پریمیم پلس دی لکوڈیٹی پریفرنس. اب اگلی چیز جس کے بارے میں ہمیں بات کرنی ہے وہ ٹرم اسٹرکچر آف انٹرسٹ ریٹس یا ییلڈ کرو ہے. دس از ویری امپورٹنٹ. لیٹر آن وین وی ٹاک اباؤٹ اسٹاک اینڈ بانڈ ویلویشن اٹ ول بی ویری امپورٹنٹ ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ دا کانسپٹ آف دی ییلڈ کرو. بیسکلی دا پوائنٹ ٹو انڈرسٹینڈ از دیٹ انٹرسٹ ریٹس ویری فروم ون ٹائم پیریڈ ٹو دا نیکسٹ. اگر ہم کسی ایک سیکیورٹی یا انویسٹمنٹ کی بھی بات کر رہے ہوں تو اس کی شارٹ ٹرم انٹرسٹ ریٹ اور لانگ ٹرم انٹرسٹ ریٹ میں فرق ہوگا. شارٹ ٹرم سے کیا ہماری مراد؟ شارٹ ٹرم مینز جنرلی ون ایئر اور لیس. میڈیم ٹرم اینی ویئر بٹوین ون ایئر ٹو فائیو ایئرس اینڈ لانگ ٹرم بٹوین فائیو ٹو ففٹین اور ٹوینٹی ایئرس. ناؤ دس از اے ویری لوز ڈیفینیشن. کچھ لوگ میڈیم ٹرم کو 5 ٹو 10 ایئرس میں ڈالیں گے اور لانگ ٹرم کو 10 ٹو 20 ایئرس پلس میں ڈالیں گے. بٹ رفلی اسپیکنگ دیز آر دی ڈیویژنز بٹوین شارٹ میڈیم اینڈ لانگ ٹرم. دا سپلائی اینڈ ڈیمانڈ آف کیپیٹل اور فنڈز ویریز ڈیپینڈنگ آن ہاؤ لانگ دا فنڈز آر ریکوائرڈ. سو ایٹ اینی گیون ٹائم, مثال کے طور پہ آج کے روز, the supply and demand for short term money might be different for the supply and demand for long term money. In other words, jin logon ko ek hafte ke liye karza chahiye aaj ke roz, unki tadad un logon se jinko ek saal ke liye karza chahiye usse zyada ya kam ho sakti hai. Lihaza short term interest rates may be different from long term interest rates. Normally speaking, the short term interest rates are lower than the long term interest rates. Why? Because in general or normally investors think that inflation is going to increase. Mehngai badhegi. Mehngai badhegi, lehaza interest rate bhi uske saath mein badhegi. This is known as the normal or upward sloping yield curve, the case where the short term rate is lower than the long term rate. Aaiye ab baat karte hain about the abnormal yield curve. This is the case where the reverse is true. Short term interest rates are higher than the long term interest rates, and shortly you will see a graphical slide which will show you how the shape of these yield curves is different. Let me go into the reasons or the factors why it is possible for interest rates to either have an upward slope or to be downward sloped. The first reason is known as the expectations theory. According to this theory, investors normally expect inflation to increase with time, thereby giving rise to a normal yield curve. Jaise maine zikr kiya, amuman investors ki soch ye hoti hai ki mehngai badhegi aur uske saath interest rates bhi badhenge. Dusri wajah, liquidity preference. Investors prefer securities and investments that are easy to encash and that have short maturities or short lives. The only problem is that although short-term maturities, securities, are easy to encash, they are not very easy to renew. So maybe today you can find a short-term investment or security that will give you 25 or 30% per year. But after the maturity of this security in 6 months, there is no guarantee that you can renew it or that you will find another security which will give you as high a rate of return. Finally, the factor that determines the shape of the yield curve is market segmentation. This is a very common reason for the abnormal yield curve. In other words, the case where short-term interest rates are higher than long-term interest rates. Market segmentation says that the demand and supply for short-term securities is different from the demand and supply for long-term securities. And therefore, the price, the equilibrium price, or the interest rates in the short-term market can be independent of the interest rate in the long-term market. It can be higher or lower depending on the supply and demand for funds in the short term versus the supply and demand of funds in the long term. And this can sway the slope of the yield curve. Achha ji, ye to ho gayi kuch nazariyati ya theoretical baatein interest ke baare mein. Aaiye ab kuch practical interest rate calculations karte. ہم تین قسم کے انٹرسٹ کے بارے میں بات کریں گے. پہلا سمپل انٹرسٹ یا سود مفرد, دوسرا ڈسکریٹ کمپاؤنڈ انٹرسٹ یا سود مرکب, اور تیسرا کنٹینیوس یا ایکسپوننشل کمپاؤنڈ انٹرسٹ. ان تینوں کے علیحدہ فارمولاز ہیں جو آپ کو یاد ہونے چاہیے. تو آئیے پہلے سمپل انٹرسٹ یا سود مفرد کے بارے میں بات کرتے ہیں. اس کا فارمولا, فیوچر ویلیو از اکول ٹو دی پریزنٹ ویلیو پلس کوانٹٹی پریزنٹ ویلیو ٹائمز انٹرسٹ ٹائمز the time period. تو اس کی ابریویشن جو ہیں وہ آپ سلائڈس پہ دیکھ سکتے ہیں. اگلا ڈسکریٹ کمپاؤنڈ انٹرسٹ یا سود مرکب, اس کا فارمولا یہ ہے, فیوچر ویلیو از اکول ٹو دی پریزنٹ ویلیو ملٹی پلائڈ بائی کوانٹٹی ون پلس دی انٹرسٹ ریٹ all raised to the power of the time period, n. Discrete compound interest mein hi, agar interest rate ya sood ki shara aapko, bajaye annual basis ke, kisi chote time horizon ki di gayi ho, misal ke taur pe interest rate per month ya per week ya quarterly, to aap formula ka thoda change kar sakte hain. Wo aise, فیوچر ویلیو از اکول ٹو دی پریزنٹ ویلیو ملٹی پلائڈ بائی کوانٹٹی ون پلس دی انٹرسٹ ریٹ ڈیوائڈیڈ بائی ایم اور دی نمبر آف پیریڈز ود ان ون ایئر آل ریز ٹو دا پاور ایم ٹائمز این. ان ویریبلس کی ڈیفینیشن بھی آپ سلائڈ اور بریگم کی بک میں ریفر کر سکتے ہیں. فائنلی کنٹینیوس یا ایکسپوننشل کمپاؤنڈ انٹرسٹ, اس کا فارمولا یہ ہے, فیوچر ویلیو از اکول ٹو دی پریزنٹ ویلیو ملٹی پلائڈ بائی ای ریز ٹو دا پاور آئی ملٹی پلائڈ بائی این. ہیئر آئی ریفرز ٹو دی انٹرسٹ ریٹ اینڈ این ریفرز ٹو دی نمبر آف ایئرس. E refers to the exponential whose value is fixed at 2.718. آئیے اب ایک عملاً انٹرسٹ ریٹ کیلکولیشن کرتے ہیں. مثال بالکل سمپل سی ہے. آپ ایک بینک میں جا کے 10 روپے جمع کرتے ہیں اور ہمیں حساب یہ لگانا ہے کہ 15 سال بعد اس 10 روپے کی ویلیو کہاں تک پہنچے گی. تو پریزنٹ ویلیو جو آپ آج ڈپازٹ کر رہے ہیں بینک میں اس 10 روپے ہوئی, اور ہمیں 15 سال بعد کی فیوچر ویلیو کیلکولیٹ کرنی, اور یہ ہم 3 طریقوں سے کریں گے, سمپل انٹرسٹ, ڈسکریٹ کمپاؤنڈ انٹرسٹ اور کنٹینیوس کمپاؤنڈ انٹرسٹ کے ذریعے. If the bank is offering simple interest, then the future value will be equal to 10 rupees plus 10 rupees multiplied by the rate of interest, which is, let's assume to be 10% per annum, multiplied by 15, number of years. And that is equal to 25 rupees. When you look at the slide, the formula and the calculation will be clearer. If the bank is offering discrete compound interest, then after 15 years, your 10 rupees would have grown to 42 rupees. Whereas, if the bank was offering only simple interest, then after 15 years, you would have only 25 rupees. So this is the major difference between compounding and simple interest. When you compound, you are offering interest on interest as well as principal amount. In other words, compounding mein aapko sood pe bhi sood mil raha hai, na sirf asal zar pe. You are getting interest on interest as well as principal. Now, let's take a look at the case of continuous compounding. Continuous ya exponential compounding koi bhi bank aapko Pakistan mein ya kahin pe bhi offer nahi karega. Because this compounding is taking place every second. If we use the formula and this case of depositing 10 rupees today in the bank, then after 15 years, using the continuous compounding formula, you would have 45 rupees in your account. And this 45 rupees in your account after 15 years, in the case of exponential compounding, is the most amount of money that you can have with the rate of return fixed at 10% and your present value fixed at 10 rupees. Now, you can see in the slide that we will show you that the continuous or exponential compounding grows at a much faster rate than the discrete compounding, and the discrete compounding money grows at a faster rate than the simple interest. The thing that you also need to remember as far as mathematics, which would be a very simple point, but I just want to refresh it, that each one of these interest rate formulas are individual formulas and single equations that can be solved for any one variable. The way you see it on the slides, the equations have been written in terms of the future value. Future value is equal to such and such. But you should easily be able to use algebra to rearrange these equations and solve for any variable in the equation. Any variable meaning present value, or n, the number of years, or I, the interest rate. So that should be a straightforward exercise. The material on interest theory and interest rate calculations is presented partly in Chapter 3 of Brigham and Kempinski, and I urge you to read the chapter and to also go over any details that I have not gone into in this lecture. Let me review the existing lecture for you. اس کا خلاصہ کچھ ایسا ہے کہ ہم نے شروع میں کچھ بنیادی کانسیپٹس کے بارے میں بات کی. فائنینشیل مینجمنٹ میں ہم دو میجر ایریاز کو اسٹڈی کریں گے. ایک ایریا انویسٹمنٹ کیپٹل بجٹنگ ہے, دوسرا ایریا کارپوریٹ فائنینسنگ ہے. اور ان دونوں کا آبجیکٹو یہ ہے کہ شیئر ہولڈرز یا اونرز کی ویلتھ کو میکسیمائز کیا جائے, زیادہ سے زیادہ کیا جائے شیئر ہولڈر کی مال و دولت کو. ہم نے کچھ بنیادی کانسیپٹس ریویو کیے جن میں ٹائم ویلیو آف منی, رسک اینڈ ریٹرن, پورٹ فولیو ڈائیورسفیکیشن اور ہیجنگ یا انشورنس شامل تھے. اس کے بعد ہم نے انٹرسٹ تھیوری, کچھ نظریاتی پہلوؤں کے بارے میں بات کی, جس میں ہم نے اکنامک اینگل آن انٹرسٹ ریٹ, سپلائی اینڈ ڈیمانڈ پرسپیکٹو ویئر بائی دی انٹرسٹ ریٹ ریپرزینٹس دی ایکولیبریم پرائس ویئر دی ڈیمانڈ اینڈ سپلائی آف فنڈز میٹ. دوسری, اس کے بعد ہم نے نامینل ریٹ آف انٹرسٹ کو ڈیفائن کیا, دیٹ دا نامینل ریٹ آف انٹرسٹ is equal to the risk-free rate of interest plus the expected rate of inflation plus the default risk premium plus the maturity risk premium plus the sovereign risk premium plus the liquidity preference. We then went into the difference in the interest rate values, sood ki sharah میں جو ٹائم کی وجہ سے ڈفرینسز پیش آتے ہیں اس کو ہم ٹرم اسٹرکچر آف انٹرسٹ ریٹس یا ییلڈ کرو کے حوالے سے جانتے ہیں. اس میں وی مینشنڈ دیٹ دی شیپ آف دی انٹرسٹ ریٹ کرو اور دی ییلڈ کرو کین ایدر بی اپورڈ سلوپنگ ان دا کیس آف دا نارمل ییلڈ کرو اور اٹ کین بی ڈاؤنورڈ سلوپنگ ایز ان دا کیس آف the abnormal yield curve. اس کی تین بنیادی وجوہات تھیں جس کو ہم نے ایکسپیکٹیشنز تھیوری, لکوڈیٹی پریفرنس اور مارکیٹ سیگمنٹیشن کے حوالے سے سمجھا. وی دین وینٹ اوور دی انٹرسٹ ریٹ فارمولاز فار تھری ڈفرنٹ ٹائپس آف انٹرسٹ ریٹ کیلکولیشنز. وی بگین by going over the formula for simple interest. We then moved into the formula for discrete compound interest. And finally, we spoke about the formula for continuous ya exponential compound interest. We did an example, a simple example, where you deposit money in a bank and the money grows according to any one of these three compounding or simple approaches. The thing to understand is that in compound interest, the money is growing because you not only earn interest on the principal amount or asle zar, but you also earn interest on interest itself. And that's why the money grows much faster in the case of compound interest. So, this material, as I mentioned, is partly covered in chapters 3. In the previous lecture, we went over financial statements analysis, financial statements and financial ratios, and I urge you to go over the relevant chapter, which is chapter 2 in Kempinski and Brigham, and also to go over your notes from the previous course in financial accounting. So, just for your benefit, before we close this lecture, let me also go over the outline of our previous lecture. The previous lecture, we spoke about the differences in the objectives between economics, financial accounting, and financial management. And we said that in the case of economics, the primary objective is general profit maximization. The objective of financial accounting is to collect, represent accurately, and to distribute and disseminate financial data. And in the case of financial management, our objective is to select those investments and financing opportunities which will maximize shareholder wealth. We then went into the analysis of financial statements, and we went over the four different kinds of financial statements. The first one was the balance sheet. We talked about the assets side of the balance sheet as representing the economic and business resources of a company. We talked about different kinds of assets, tangible, intangible, current, fixed, long-term, contingent. You should be familiar with these terms. We talked about the fact that current assets represent assets that can be relatively easily converted into cash. Iske kehne ka ye maksad nahi hai ke accounts receivable bahut aasani se cash mein tabdeel ho sakte hain. Pakistan mein kafi dushwari hoti hai accounts ko, credit accounts ko collect karte hue. We spoke about the assets that come under long term or fixed assets, and we talked about the inventory valuation, the value of the inventory, which is part of current assets, is a difficult exercise. Although there are convenient formulas, it makes the valuation of inventory very subjective, because depending on whether you use the FIFO or the LIFO or average cost methods, you can greatly affect the value of the inventory that you are showing on the books. Not only that, but because inventory valuation depends on the depreciation method, that adds another subjective layer to the exercise, because you have a few different techniques for calculating depreciation, including straight line, double declining, and accelerated method. And you should be familiar with these different methods for inventory valuation and depreciation. We then spoke about the liability side of the balance sheet. We mentioned that liabilities are obligations, and there are generally two categories of obligation. One obligation is to outside creditors, and the other obligation is to the owners or shareholders. This kind of obligation to the owners or shareholders is known as equity. And you can also interpret equity as the difference between the total assets and the liabilities to outsiders. Whatever the difference between these two values is, the equity or the net worth. We spoke about current liabilities, including accounts payables, short-term loans, and accrued expenses, and how you can calculate the net working capital as the difference between current assets and current liabilities. I emphasized the importance of only treating cash as cash. Ek bilkul hi simple si baat lag rahi hai yahan pe, lekin you need to understand that in the balance sheet, the only item that represents cash is the cash account in the current assets. Retained earnings and net income do not represent cash. We spoke about the profit or loss or income statement, in which we mentioned that this is a flow statement over a certain period of time, as opposed to the balance sheet, which is at a particular point in time. The accounts in a profit and loss statement are temporary accounts that are closed at the end of every accounting cycle. The profit and loss statement has various formulas built into it for calculating gross profit, operating profit, earnings before interest and taxation, or EBIT, or operating income, and then EBT, earnings before taxation, and then finally the net income. So after these two statements, we spoke about the cash flow statement. Cash flows are important for financial management because we mentioned that assets and companies are valued according to the cash flows that they generate in the future. So cash flows are very important, and the key difference is that we have to account for depreciation, because depreciation is a non-cash expense. And although it appears as an expense in the accrual basis of accounting, in financial management, we will treat only genuine cash expenses as cash outflows. Finally, we ended on the shareholders' equity statement, or the retained earnings statement, and we mentioned that the total equity is comprised of the common equity plus the paid-in capital plus the retained earnings. And again, retained earnings is basically whatever money the management decides they are not going to distribute to the shareholders, and instead they are going to reinvest in the business. We then moved into the area of financial ratios in the previous lecture, and just to refresh your memory, we spoke about five different categories of financial ratios. The first one was liquidity or solvency ratios, in which we talked about the current ratio and the quick ratio and asset test. Then we spoke about profitability ratios and went over the profit margin, the return on assets, and the return on equity. We then moved into asset ratios and spoke about inventory turnover and total asset turnover. We talked about debt ratios or capital structure ratios, in which we went over the debt to asset ratio and the debt to equity ratio. And finally, we spoke about a very important category of ratios known as the market ratios. And we went over the earnings per share or EPS, the price earnings ratio, and the market to book value ratio. We mentioned that there are limitations to financial ratio analysis because you can't compare the financial ratios of a small company in one particular industry to a large company in another industry. Generally, you have to compare businesses in the same industry and businesses of the same size. We closed the last lecture highlighting the difference between financial accounting, which stresses historical value and stresses the accrual basis for calculating income, versus financial management, which stresses market value, or current market prices, for calculating assets, and which uses the cash flows as the main basis for calculating value. So with that, I wrap up the summary of the present lecture and the previous one. I hope that so far you've had an interesting learning experience and will continue to pursue more conceptual and numerical examples and issues in financial management. Thank you very much for your kind attention and patience. Aapko Mubashir Humayun aur Virtual University ki taraf se Khuda Hafiz aur Assalamu Alaikum.